We have a wonderful Heavenly Father, don't we? I'd like for you to turn, please, to Matthew chapter 6. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to look at some things regarding the heart. And I think that for many of you, most of what we're going to look at is pretty familiar, but these are the kinds of things that we want to look at over and over again. Because these are some of the basic truths that we need to understand if we're really going to stand and we're really going to see the things that are available to us in our lives. I look at this stuff, and I'm sure that's the case for many of you too, is I look at this stuff and I get as excited. I get excited looking at it the 100th time as I did the first time. You know, just because it's true. It's truth. And truth is exciting. Matthew chapter 6 is a great record that we're not going to get into in detail, but I did want to read a few verses here. In verse 19 is where we're going to begin. And it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart be also." See? It's kind of interesting that there's a reason why the word treasure is used here. It's an idiom, and it's put for thoughts. But that which you love, that which you consider valuable, that which is a big deal to you, that which is important to you, is what you will treasure. It's what you think about. Isn't that something? That's where your heart will be. Now I want you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. This is a wonderful record. Again, we're going to kind of pick it up in the middle of it. This is the record of the fig tree. And anyway, they passed by the fig tree and it was dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered what the Lord had done. Verse 21, verse 22, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." Literally, it's believe God. Okay. Now, the key to understanding this section is to understand the word faith, or pistis, or believing. Believing, again, is based on information. It's based on information received. And it's the acceptance of that information and then acting upon that information that's been accepted. In this context, it is believe who?
God.
So the believing that is being spoken of here, the information that is being referred to here, is information that comes from who? God. See? "And Jesus, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," the context is believing who?
God.
Believing God. Got to keep that in mind. It's not that I just make this up. I yell to the mountain, "Jump in the lake." It's not what this record's teaching. The record's teaching is, if God tells me to tell the mountain to jump in the lake, I say what?
Jump.
That's right. And don't doubt in my where. And that mountain's going for a jump in the lake. Because my believing is based on information from who?
God.
Right. But what else this record teaches us, or this verse teaches us, is that doubt comes from where? It comes from the heart. That's right. Well, on the other hand, Romans 10, you all know this verse. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine what? Thine heart. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved or delivered. For with the heart man believeth, or it is believed unto what?
Righteousness.
Yeah. So what else comes from the heart? Believing. Believing is based on the acceptance of information. And in this context, it's that information that comes from God or God's Word. See? Doubt also comes from the heart. Doubt is also based on information or lack of understanding. See? But it comes from the heart. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. This is a great record. One of my favorite records in the Word. And again, we're not going to take the time to get into it, but I love this record. This is shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we had these two guys, Cleopas and another guy, walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus Christ appears unto them. The only thing is, they don't realize it's Jesus Christ. And they're real bummed out. Because Jesus Christ is dead. He had died. So Jesus Christ, although them not knowing he was Jesus Christ, said, what you bummed out about? And I want to pick it up. And they explained to him what had happened in verse 24. These women went to the sepulcher, but they didn't see him. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ, said unto them, O fools, and what? Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. These men were slow of heart to believe. They were having a tough time. So you know what Jesus Christ did? Well, he began at Moses. He took him to the Word. And he expounded all the scriptures regarding him. Isn't that something? They just needed to have some things spelled out. Sometimes we're slow of heart to believe, aren't we? Sure. Sometimes we just need to have some things spelled out in God's Word, or from God's Word. But the point is that he took them where? He took them to God's Word. And you know, and when they realized that it was Jesus Christ later, what they said was, is while he talked with us, did not our heart burn within us? Why? Because what was getting in their heart? All the scriptures pertaining to the Christ. Isn't that something? That's what turned it around for them. See? That's where believing comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I just want to read a verse here. You know, what we're really looking at here are issues of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And again, we're just going to read one quick verse. Here we go. I suppose we could read verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he what? Purposes in his where? His heart. So let him give not grudgingly or out of grief. Or
out of necessity or compulsion. For God loves a what? A cheerful giver. See? Giving, or genuine giving, comes from where? Comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. See? That's right. Doubt comes from the heart. Giving comes from the heart. Believing comes from the heart. Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to read another familiar record. Luke chapter 6. And really, this is Jesus Christ teaching regarding the heart. Verse 43 is where we're going to begin. A good tree brings not forth what? Corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure, and again, this word treasure is put for thoughts. It's that idiom. The good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is what? Good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is what? For out of the abundance of the heart, his what? His mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh. I'll tell you something. You can't hide what's in your heart. You just can't. Not really. And what a horrible way to live. Rather than hiding what's in your heart, what we want to do is fill our heart with that which is good. With that which issues in believing. Now we're going to see something as we go here. So, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I what? Which I say. See? Which I say. There's another record. We didn't look at it. But what this is, it's where the Pharisees had accused Jesus Christ of violating traditions and so on. They didn't wash their hands. And Jesus Christ said, basically, it's that which, not that which goes into a man, but that which comes out of a man that defiles that man. See? Because it's out of the abundance of the heart. And he said, well has Isaiah prophesied of you. Well has Isaiah prophesied of you. You honor me with your what? With your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's what this is speaking. Same truth. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? That would be to be concerned about what you look like rather than what's genuinely in your heart. That would be endeavoring to serve God and mammon at the same time. Like the Pharisees who, you know, when they fasted, boy, they just, you know, they announced all that they were doing. All that they were going through for God. They weren't serving God.
All they cared about is what people thought. And what Jesus Christ taught them is when you fast, clean your face, go be by yourself. Because if we're really going to serve God from our heart, all we care about is what God thinks. You cannot be concerned about what men think and think you're serving the true God. You cannot serve God and mammon. And any honor, any recognition that you get via your service of God is simply incidental. It is not what you seek. It is not what you go for. It is not what motivates you. See? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Then it goes on. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'm going to show you what he's like. See? I'm going to show you. Now what we're doing is we're speaking of a man who takes care of his heart, who says, Lord, Lord, and it's from his heart. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a what? A rock. See, his heart was solid. Isn't that great? But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was what? It was great. That house looked good. It looked just as good as the one that had dug deep foundations. You couldn't see the deep foundations. But when the stuff hit, when life presented some things, that house that didn't have good foundations, what happened? Down it came. See? So it is with a man who does not build his heart. Isn't that something? Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119. We're just going to look at a couple more things here. Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine what? In mine heart, that I might not sin against thee, or that I might not fall short of the mark. You know, this word hid, you know what it means? It means to treasure up. To hide is a treasure. Isn't that cool? Your word have I treasured up, that I might not fall short of that mark. See? Thy word. That's my treasure. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Now, this is a familiar proverb, but I want to start in verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend, that means listen closely to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Basically, it means listen. Pay attention. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This word keep, it means to guard, to protect. That's what it means. Protect it. Once you get the word in, then we have to what? We got to guard it. This next verse, verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep thy heart. That's that word guard, to protect. Keep thy heart, guard your heart with all diligence. And this word diligence, it also means to guard, but it's to set a watch. It's translated ward a bunch of times in the word, or jail. Yeah. It is to guard, see, to watch over, to watch, to set a watch. We guard, we protect, and we set a watch. Isn't that something? For out of it are the what? That's the reason why, are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. The heart is worth putting the time in to protect. It's worth putting the time into guard. You know what that means? You got to watch what you're feeding your heart. You need to guard what you look at. You need to guard what you think about. And you know what keeps the heart? You know what guards the heart? It's God's Word. Once you've built that Word, it's the Word that'll protect that heart, that'll guard that heart. Isn't that neat? Because you hold things up against the Word and you discard those things that don't line up. See? Proverbs 3. We're almost done here. My son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and who? Trust in the Lord with all your what? All your heart. With all your heart. We heard that in manifestations, didn't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's go to 6. Proverbs 6. Then we're going to close in James. Proverbs 6. Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. This is referring to the word that this young man had been taught. Forsake it not. Bind them continually upon thine what? Thine heart. And tie them about thy neck. And when you go, it will what? It will lead thee. Isn't that beautiful? Because you've fed your heart, you abound, you've protected, you've built the word in your heart, it will lead you. When you sleep, it'll keep you. And when you wake, it shall what? It's going to talk with you. Isn't that something? It's going to talk with you. See? For the commandment, and the commandment here is put for God's word, is a lamp. The law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are what? The way of life. See? The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's right. We're children of God. You know? Those of you who have children, you know, their understanding of things compared to yours, even though they may think otherwise at times, doesn't even come close. Right? So, you instruct them. Even when they think they're right, you instruct them because they're not. Well, we as adults, what do you think our understanding is compared to God's? Reproofs are a way of life because we're children of the Most High. Isn't that wonderful? See? Humility. Humility to God. A humble heart. Word talks about that. A humble heart. See? Humble to God. Humble to God's Word. And I want to close in James. James chapter 1. It's
worth taking the time, even though we know these things, to think about it, to be aware of it. You know, and the Word talks about, in Jeremiah, I believe it is, that it talks about the Word being the joy and rejoicing of my heart. To Jeremiah, God's Word was to the joy and rejoicing of his heart. See? And it's available for God's Word to be the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. And if it's not, well, spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time trusting Him and don't lean to your own understanding. Ask God to show you so that that Word can be the joy and rejoicing of your heart. You know, what did Jesus Christ do with those men on the road to Emmaus? Oh, slow of heart to believe. And He walked away from them because they were idiots. No, He took them to God's Word. Isn't that beautiful? James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, that which is dishonorable is what that means. Superfluity of naughtiness. You know, things that are evil, contrary to God's Word. And receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to deliver your souls, to deliver, save your lives. Be ye what? Doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Isn't that something? See? That word deceiving is to miscount or to cheat. You cheat your own self. You cheat yourself. If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a mirror, in a glass. He beholds himself, and then he walks away from the mirror, and straightway, he forgot what he looked like. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? You look in a mirror, you look at your face, then you walk away, and you're like, what do I look like? The man that hears the Word, he hears it. You know, maybe even excited about it. And then walks away and forgets it. He's like that man. That's what that's like. He beholds himself, he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. And whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That means to live it. This man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Isn't that beautiful? Blessed in his deed. I think we read some similar things in Proverbs. So I have to take care of what goes into my heart. I've got to guard what goes into my heart. And you know what? Even the weakest among us can guard what goes into our heart. I can do that. You can do that. That's right. And there's tremendous freedom, tremendous liberty, tremendous deliverance when we build the Word in our heart. It'll guide us. It'll keep us. It'll protect us. Isn't that beautiful? The Word. Building the Word. It's well worth taking the time to build the Word in your heart. You know, we're going to look at, for the Pittsburgh weekend this year, we're going to look at Hebrews 11. We're going to spend some time in Hebrews 11. And we're going to read about men and women who did this. They built the Word in their heart. See, and they acted. They ordered their lives in light of that Word of God, in light of the hope that they were given. And they were men and women who received a good report from God. good report.
See, their concern was pleasing God, not men. So, all right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.